This is the Mindful Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Vic. Excited that you're here. This podcast is all about diving deep into the mind and understanding this experiment or this game we call life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Ashok, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. You're doing some cool things that I think is, I'm intrigued, and I love what you're up to, and I cannot wait for you to share this to the listeners as we dive into this episode and spend a little time here together. But before we do, I'd like to get right into things. So tell me a little bit about your story, how you kind of got to what you're doing today. How was that journey that led you to where you are?
Yeah, well, like many of us who work in this arena, we've had our own challenges and our own journey that we've had to go through to then inspire others. And so my journey started in the mid-90s, where I suffered from chronic fatigue syndrome, sometimes known as ME. And doctors didn't know what it was. They said, we've got no cure for you. We don't even know what causes it. We don't really know what to call it. You're on your own. And for a young man in his early 20s, that was like a brick wall in front of me. And I met thousands of others, hundreds of others, in fact, who had suffered from this condition. And I just thought, if I can just get myself well, even if it's 50% better, even if it's 80% better, I will dedicate the rest of my life to supporting others with this condition. So I managed to research brain neurology and physiology and came up with a hypothesis as to what I believed caused this condition, so a neurological hypothesis, which was published in 2002. In an ad hoc way, I retrained my brain, I got myself 100% well, and then set up a clinic to treat others. And then we published the well-known neuroplasticity program known as the Gupta program in 2007. We were the kind of first in this arena. And since then, we've been publishing medical trials, medical studies to prove that this type of approach, very different to traditional approaches, can support healing from a whole range of different neuroimmune diseases.
I love that. And when you talk neuroplasticity, that's a chiropractor's heart right there. So I appreciate the work because I totally get it. And it's cool stuff. So let's talk a little bit about it, because I know people are probably listening to that going, all right, how'd you do it? Like, what's the secret sauce to retraining the brain and being able to do that to what helped you in your journey and what you've done for others now?
Yeah, well, I always like to start with this big question, which I think summarizes then how we lead into neurology, which is, why are we here? Now, we could ask that from a philosophical perspective, and that could be a very enjoyable conversation. But let's start from a scientific perspective, that we are here because over millions of years of evolution, this nervous system, this immune system, this physiology has adapted to its environment over, you know, through different organisms, been able to survive, procreate, and pass on its genes to the next generation. So our lineage, in fact, includes plant life, single cell organisms, invertebrates, vertebrates, reptiles, mammals, human beings. We actually have that DNA, as it were, encoded within us and that adaptation. And so I always love this statistic. We share 40% of the same DNA as a banana, right? So it shows you the kind of lineage that we've come from. And so with that in mind, our brains are survival machines. We're here to survive. And so when we have a threat, our system goes into that adaptation mode where it says, how can we adapt to this environment? How can we process the threat, change whatever needs to be changed in the body to adapt, and then be able to fight off this threat and still be able to thrive? Yeah? And that gives us a clue, because the system cares more about survival than it does our well-being. So then when we're presented with a threat, when the system is weak, the system can then over-respond, overreact. So let's take the example of COVID, because I know that I think many of us know somebody who suffers from lingering effects of COVID in some shape or form. And so when COVID comes along, normally our immune system kicks in, it fights off the virus, and then goes back to standby mode. But if our system is exhausted, tired, or there's a lot of threat perception in the system, the virus can come along, but then the system believes that even once the virus has been fought off, perhaps it's still around. Let's err on the side of caution. Let's continue to trigger the immune system and nervous system to protect us, which then causes all of these symptoms in the body. And when it causes the symptoms in the body, those symptoms then become what we call a conditioned response, a learnt response. The brain perceives those symptoms as evidence of ongoing infection. So then those symptoms loop back to a hypersensitive, hypervigilant brain. The brain thinks we're still in danger, and we get this vicious cycle or vicious loop that then goes on to cause chronic illness and chronic disease. And so what we do is then say, well, how can we train the brain that we are no longer in the original danger or in the presence of the original threat? How can we tone down and switch off these responses? And Vic, I don't know, are you a fan of Game of Thrones by any chance?
I am not. I've never seen it or anything, but I know a little bit about it.
Know a bit about it. Well, let's take the example of fairy tale. So we all know fairy tale. So imagine you are King Vic, who is the king of your kingdom and your castle. I see a big smile on your face when we state it like that. And imagine you have an army, which is your nervous system, and a navy, which is your immune system. And we have all kinds of threats towards the kingdom. So it can be psychological threats, like a rival tribe invading, or it can be biological threats. It can be sensitivity threats, so mold or lime or something like that, threatening the kingdom. So your army and navy fight it off. But imagine there's a drought in the kingdom. So now with a drought, the kingdom is weaker. The army and navy are weaker. An invading army comes over the hill. Could be mold, could be lime, could be any kind of virus, bacterial infection, could be pain, right? It comes over the hill. Now the army and navy are weaker, so they fire off those weapons of war in an attempt to save the kingdom. But in doing so, what they end up doing is using up all the resources of the kingdom. And then some of those arrows fall back into the kingdom. So that's why we get the inflammation, the chronic inflammation that occurs throughout the body. Because these systems are now attacking a body's own cells. So that can cause inflammation, autoimmune disease. Now opportunistic viruses and infections flourish in the kingdom because the Secret Service can no longer deal with the spies, as we call them, in the body. So now those are flourishing. So now we have more sensitivities, we have more of these effects in the physiology. So that keeps the body in this chronic state. And brain retraining is the next meeting that you have with your generals, your army generals, your navy generals, where they come to you as King Vic and say, we still need all the resources of the kingdom. We need the wheat, the corn, the iron, everything needs to be channeled to us. At your next weekly meeting, you say, my dear generals, you have done a wonderful job in helping the kingdom survive, i.e. the body. But now the war is over. You can stand down. And they won't get the message the first time or the second time or the third time, but that is the basis of neuroplasticity, that it's through repetition we're able to retrain the brain to get that message. And we found, as you say, that secret source, that way of accessing the unconscious, what we would perceive as an unconscious process, the immune system, to be able to train it to calm its responses and then for the system to come back to its normal state. And that's what we've been doing for a whole range of different diseases, mold, Lyme, long COVID, chronic fatigue, pain syndromes. We've been able to unlock the way of being able to program the brain.
I love it. And it's pretty cool when you could do things like that, because it's amazing how the body, which is designed to be healthy, and although the medical world says that's not, we have poor genes and this and that and all this stuff. But when you look at it, when you can work with the systems, it's amazing how the body restores itself and wants to get back to that essence. When we can break down the conditioned response, as you're sharing in here, and so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. And that conditioned responses have become even worse in society because of the way we're living now. So rewind 300-400 years, we would be living in small villages, in coastal villages, we'd be out in nature, we wouldn't be living in boxes, we'd be eating generally toxin-free food, or not completely. Fast forward to now, we are sedentary. We're living, eating a lot of toxins. We're surrounded by pollution. We're surrounded by threats, psychological threats, physiological threats. Therefore, our system is primed to go into this overdrive mode, to hyper-defend, hyper-activate. And that's what happens then in the nervous system, the electrical system of our bodies. The information system then learns to hyper-defend as a way of ensuring survival. So as far as the brain is concerned, a lot of these diseases are not diseases. They are a maladaptation, or certainly adaptation, an evolutionary biological advantage to ensure survival. But it just makes us feel bad, makes us feel unwell. And that's the unfortunate consequence of it.
Now, I love what you're sharing, because this is exactly in the chiro world what we like to talk about is, like, you know, people say, well, why is this happening to me? Why am I having this? Or why is it showing up this way? And it's just like, as you just shared, it's a conditioned aspect where the body is trying. I always tell people, the body will get the job done. It may not do it in the most efficient way because it's going off the most information it has. But at the same token, where is its state of where it's at that moment? If it's in hyperdrive, sympathetic dominance, then all of a sudden you're going to have not the most optimal responses. And over time, you know, whatever shows up is going to be that weakest link. You know, we can talk about, you know, I'll tell patients like, yeah, it could be, you know, sugar goes up, your blood pressure goes up, this goes up, this goes up, this is firing up when you're in that state. I'm like, but what's going to show up for you? I don't know, but no one, you know, it's one of those things. It's the weakest link is what we do know. And when we can start to retrain this thing and start to change it and help the body adapt better, then all of a sudden, this is where we can be a big game changer. And I think this is where, and I appreciate the work you're doing because neural is where everything's at. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know you know this already, and just sharing this for the listeners, it's like, even in my coaching business, I always tell people, I'm like, it's your mind is everything. You know, from a health perspective, and even from a sort of business and successful perspective, you have to, where is that level of consciousness? Not even just from, because you brought this up earlier about like our evolutionary process, right? Reptilians and all this other stuff, reptiles, I mean, and so it's one of those things like the reptilian brain, and, you know, we have these levels of consciousness, and where are we living? And in today's society and how we're living all this constant stress, I'm assuming you see this as much, is like we're just really in overdrive. And we're just burning up these bodies with inflammation, chronic toxicity, chronic toxic exposure, fear, worry. You know, they've done studies where they looked at amygdalas and they're like the part of our brain that's the stress and worry response. Plus it does other things, but, you know, just that's one of them. And they're a lot bigger now than they were, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And that's just a short period of time, you know, 20, 30 years. And when we look at the history of humanity, that's not that long. And so it's one of those things where, doing that kind of work really, really helps. And I know you're doing some other stuff too. I love to, you know, talk a little bit about, you go even deeper, right? So not just what you're doing with the Gupta and all that stuff. You go a little deeper in some other work. I'd love to hear more about it.
That's right. So this idea, and I agree with everything you've said there, this idea of holistic living, this idea of holistic healing, I think is absolutely key. So in the Gupta program, we look at the brain retraining and the neuroplasticity. Then within the Gupta program, we want people to get well and stay well. So understanding our stress responses. So we use a lot of work called parts work, you know, that was originally conceived by Dr. Richard Schwartz in terms of IFS, internal family systems. And that kind of work is really powerful at helping people understand their stress responses so they stay well. And then we open up to the more spiritual sphere, which I believe is, you know, incredibly important for people, which is a next layer of a program that we ask our patients to go on to really have the overall healing. And it's called the Meaning of Life Experiment. And so as the mindful experiment, I would appreciate those words, those concepts. And the Meaning of Life Experiment is, you know, we feel that this idea of what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? It's such a big question that feels so overarching and so awe-inspiring that people sometimes just close themselves off for it. So we wanted people to go through an experiment, which was, here's a way of looking at our entire existence from a very different lens. And here's a 30-day program of BBC-style documentaries, which will take you through step by step one way of looking at the universe, life, the meaning of life. And people go through an experiment, they meditate each day, they watch a short video, 20 minutes a day, so it's about half an hour a day, 30 minutes for 30 days. And by the end of it, they have a full understanding of, or certainly a deeper understanding of this way of looking at things, which probably is more the Eastern thought way of looking at it. Yeah? And often when we think of consciousness and one consciousness, these are very abstract concepts, but we try to bring it more down to earth and really easy bite-sized types of chunks of information to consume. So that's another app that we have, the Meaning of Life Experiment, which we'd love for people to experience.
I think it's huge because that's to understand a little bit more of our essence, consciousness, right? What is it? And to, you know, dive deeper into that. We talk about that a lot here on the Mindful Experiment, and to really help individuals start to understand their consciousness, how's that all work? Who's the person behind the person, right? The observer behind the observer. But even what you're doing with all that, I think it's huge because perception's everything too. We get back into neurology, right? And then we can maybe talk about this. It's like when you're looking at how you see something is what it becomes. And if you see something as a threat, or if you see something as something to worry about or X, Y, Z, that's going to create a physiological response that's going to disrupt a lot of things. And if we can and I don't know if you go into that kind of work with what you're doing there, I'm just bringing this up, but it's like to understand like how we see things is what it is. That's a game changer for every facet of our life, not just in health.
Oh, Vic, I mean, I totally agree with you there. This is the essence of each of the programs that we do, which is that we wear a lens. So we call it like sunglasses. We wear a certain type of sunglasses on our eyes. And what is etched onto those sunglasses are all our past experiences. So we never look at a situation clean, in a clean way. We are bringing our past experiences, our past conditioning, our past learning, and it obstructs a clear view of the world or of our bodies or anything. And the purpose or one of the purposes of life may be to clean that lens, to recognize that there is a lens and then to begin to observe how we respond to life and then start cleaning that lens, polishing that lens. So we see life cleaner without our preconceived notions and past conditioning. And that applies in our Gupta program work, which is obviously the brain neurology, healing the body, but also spiritual work as well. And ultimately, it comes down to this word meaning. We attach meaning to every physiological experience, emotional experience, mental experience, spiritual experience. And those meanings don't often serve us. So how do we recognize those meanings and those attitudes and begin to reapply them or erase the old ones? So we often say brain retraining is often a process of forgetfulness. You're actually forgetting the old way that your body or your brain used to engage with the world and creating a more conducive way of engaging with the world that you choose, that is conscious choice versus unconscious reaction. And most of personal development is essentially moving from unconscious reaction to conscious awareness of what you choose. I think that operates across all facets of life.
I love that. And I love how you share that with the lens and all that, because I talk a lot about that in many ways. Because you think about it, as kids, we come into this world pure. And I say this in a way that, and I always tell my guests, anytime I say this, I'm like, help me make it softer of an approach. I'm really trying to, but it's like we come into the world pure, but then the world and the adults of the world tarnish us in some way, shape, or form. And that sounds like victimhood, but it's not. It's just because we adapt the programs. We adapt the conditioning from others. I call it the matrix. And so when we take that down, then it makes us kind of forget kind of the essence of who we really are, the power of what we have within. And then when we're retraining, like you were just sharing there, like polishing these things off and doing those kind of things, that's where the work I do is always like, that's when you really step into your power. That's when you're really choosing for the first time in your life what you really want to experience or how you want to see something rather than, and it takes, again, going back to neurology, it's all neurology at the end of the day, right? We have these conditioned responses. I love how you brought the unconscious responses, reactions. We have so many of those. And it's one of those things that how to unravel this. It's teaching that old dog new tricks, right?
Yeah, I like that phrase, teaching old dog new tricks. And I think it comes down to several layers of our existence. So even how stressed our mother was whilst she was pregnant with us impacts on our amygdala and our stress levels. Then the first 5 years of life, the sands of our mind is very impressionable. So imagine it's like a beach. It's very easy to carve these neuronal pathways in the beach in the first 5 years. So that kind of sets our sense of self-love and self-esteem, which then impacts for the rest of our lives. And then all those experiences keep creating more impressions in the sand. And the key bit of neurology, I think it's so important, is that our brains err on the side of caution. So our brains are more likely to process the negative experiences that we have and be cautious and fearful because that's protective, versus celebrating the positive. And when we recognize that within us, we can realize that, yes, my brain probably responds in a more fearful, more cautious way than I need to, given the modern world that we now live in. And if I recognize that, I can begin to retrain those overcautious responses.
So I got one question before we wrap up, and that is, so are there any limits to then our to the human being, to the mind, to the brain, and to life?
Wow, that's a big question, and that depends on people's belief systems. But I would say that from a day-to-day perspective, we aren't tapping into our potential. Because to tap into the potential of our mind and our brain, it's not just the wiring, it's also our lifestyle. So the food we consume, the people that we're around, the information we consume all impacts on our consciousness and our spirituality and our stress levels. And so there's so many things in ways in which we can shift our lifestyle into improve our neurology, but then tapping into that potential once we've done that. And that potential is when we let go of the fear, when we become more still, and that's where, you know, mindfulness, meditation, breathing, all of these great tools, when we're able to calm the noise in the brain, then we start discovering that human potential. Yeah. What is the birthplace of creativity? It's when the mind is still. What is the birthplace of connection to self and the witnessing awareness? It is when the mind is calmer. So that is a key component of discovering that human potential.
Appreciate you sharing that. Ashok, how can people find you, follow you, your app, your programs, all that stuff?
So if people have some kind of chronic condition, even anxiety and depression, people found it very useful, then our brain retraining program is called the Gupta Program. And you can go to App Store or Play Store and download it from there, or at our website, guptaprogram.com. And if people are interested in the Meaning of Life experiment, which is a separate program, and that's a 30-day spiritual development program, they can also go to App Store or Play Store and search Meaning of Life experiment, and they can download that free app and take a look at that as well. And something which has been a real game changer, you know, when it comes to brain neurology and rewiring, repetition is so important. So many people think, oh, I do a weekly yoga class, that's all I need to do, or I meditate once a week. It's not enough. It is about the repetition. And therefore, we've started something called Daily Guptasize, which are daily Zoom calls for nervous system regulation and brain retraining. We have 200 to 300 people a day that come on. And that has been a game changer for so many of our patients, because the regularity, the motivation, the community has been inspiring for many people. So I really would love for people to experience that as well.
For all the listeners, I'll have all that information in the show notes. This was fun, brother. I know I'm going to have you eventually on again soon. I love what you're up to. You're speaking my passions and all that fun jazz. And I just appreciate the work you're doing. It's much needed in the world, especially in today's world, so much more. So keep, thanks for carving a little time out of your schedule to come hang out with us for a little bit.
Yeah, it was so fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you found this episode to be inspirational, pay it forward by sharing with someone that you know can benefit from this. If this is your first time tuning in, please follow us, connect with us, so you don't miss another amazing episode. And until next time, keep rocking and rolling.